Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Vegan Food and Living's Simply Vegan podcast with me, Holly Johnson, and my co-host, Molly Pickering. Each week, we discuss the latest vegan news, taste test the newest vegan products, and speak to some of the leading names in veganism about everything from nutrition, immunity, and weight loss to recipe ideas and alternative proteins. We also answer your questions each week, so don't forget to email us at simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first birthday party.
Woo!
I was going to play like, happy birthday to you. But I wasn't sure on like, you know, I didn't want to get sued. We've made it through a year without getting sued. So I thought maybe I'll just sing it instead. But that's,
you know, that's what? I was going to sing, but then I realized it's not worth putting the listeners through my voice. Even happy birthday, when I sing happy birthday, I get so cringed out at myself. When I was younger, I used to mime it because I just couldn't stand myself singing it.
Oh, that's horrible. I'm sure your voice isn't that bad.
No, it is.
So today we are celebrating our first birthday, the first birthday of the Simply Vegan podcast. Our first episode went live on the, I think it was the 12th of October 2020, in the middle of a pandemic. My company asked me to kind of do like a pilot when I was on furlough after Simply Vegan magazine closed. So I did the pilot, and for some reason they decided to go with it. I think like the bosses must have been extremely drunk that day because they agreed.
They just love you. They just love you.
I don't know. They somehow agreed that it would be a good idea to let me do a podcast. So yeah, we've made it through a year, and it's amazing. Absolutely just fantastic. I just feel so honored to work on this podcast, and the people I've spoken to are just so inspirational. We're going to go through like some of our favorites, aren't we, Molly?
Yes.
Obviously you joined in April. Before that we had Gabs, who's now got her lovely little boy at home. So yeah, we've both got a little glass of Prosecco, haven't we? What are you drinking, Moles?
I want to do like a virtual cheers, but I was going to like flick the glass to see.
Cheers. That's good. I like it.
That come through? I don't think so.
Cheers, Molly.
Cheers, Holly. I am drinking. So I ran up to Sainsbury's on my lunch break. This is fancy, let me tell you. Valdo, Marca Oro Prosecco. It's all in Italian. I don't know what it says.
It must be fancy because like you can hardly even pronounce it.
I think it is vegan.
There's a really good website for drinks, for checking drinks, because if you're listening and you're not sure why on earth Prosecco or wine wouldn't be vegan, they use like fish, I think it's bladders, isn't it?
It's insane. We talked about this on my first episode, I believe.
We
spoke about vegan drinks.
we had each other's number down then, even when we had it then.
And honestly, I'm so bad for it. So I need, like, I think they have an app as well. So I need it in my phone just to check. But when I'm on nights out, I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
I know. Sometimes you forget, don't you?
Yeah.
But check out Barnivore and it just lets you know what, because some like wines and stuff contain traces of milk and things. So
it's insane. I'm just there, innocent me, thinking there's just lovely fresh grapes.
Yeah.
Whole food.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you know, they use the fish bladders to clarify things. Anyway, we're at a birthday party. Let's not talk about that. So I'm drinking an organic rosé prosecco from Aldi.
And
so I love this one. And it used to be $7.99. They've snuck the price up to, I think it's $8.49 now, which is
annoying. How dare they?
I know. It's like when you go into the eights, it's a bit like, ooh, that's a bit pricey.
I know it is, isn't it? But when you think about it, it's like, what was that, 40p? But in my head, I'm like, no.
But anyway, it's a really nice one and it's organic, so you don't mind paying a bit more, and it's marked vegan. So yeah, if you're listening, give that a go. So shall we start off with our favourite taste test? Because we've done a lot of eating, haven't we? I mean, a lot of eating over the last year.
Since I joined, I have had to, not had to, I'm being a bit dramatic, but I have definitely had to start doing a lot of workouts because I have been in a dream of cakes and vegan chocolate and everything else. And I'm in love with it, but oh my gosh.
So what were your favourite things that you have tasted over the last, well, you've obviously joined in April, so since then?
The first episode was in July.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. It literally feels like months ago, doesn't it?
It does. I feel like I've known you forever.
There's been so much and I really struggled trying to narrow it down. And these choices probably sound, well, no, they make sense in my head, but we'll go with the first one. So my first favourite one was the Sackler tartar sauce and horseradish. It honestly filled me with so much joy. Did I tell you I took it out? I took the tartar sauce out with me to a restaurant because I wanted to try it so bad. Honestly, I love tartar sauce so much. Like, smother me in tartar sauce. I love it. And this was revolutionary for me. So I feel like this changed me as a person. I'm not being dramatic.
I feel like the sign of a good product is when, you know, when you're taste testing it, is when you go out and buy it again. Because some things taste really great, but actually you're not really missing it in your life, perhaps. But those sauces, the tartar and horseradish, were kind of, filling a gap.
Honestly. Yeah. I've never had a roast without that horseradish now.
Yeah, it's same incredible. Here. Yeah. What was your other one?
I feel like there's just no contest. And it was delivered on my the day before my birthday, the Lola's cupcakes.
I think
about them to this day.
My favourite taste tests have to be, so I sort of sat there and thought about, you know, like you, what could I not stop thinking about after I ate it? And it definitely has to be the Palace Culture cheese that we had before Christmas. So nut cheeses, like artisan cheeses. So they're not your bog standard kind of bit, great, a bit of cheddar over your pasta. The other thing that I tried that I have continued to eat was the no salt beef pretzel roll from Marks and Spencer's.
Oh my God.
Have you had this?
Like, if I die, I want this served at the buffet. Honest to God. How have they done it? What is it? And
I know, it's so yummy. I really, really like that one. Right, let's have a top up before we go on to our favourite episodes.
I'm going to be pissed.
Cheers. So let's start at the beginning. So episode one, I interviewed Derek Sarno, who is He runs Wicked Healthy, Wicked Kitchen at Tesco.
Everything.
He runs the world, basically, of veganism.
My world.
He's so amazing. And I was so embarrassed because I had no clue what I was doing. I really cringe when I listen back to episode one, but he was just lovely. And he's just such a nice guy. And he kind of humoured my terrible interviewing skills. He's done so much for veganism. And when you walk into Tesco, and like he says in the interview, you know, they used to have like a falafel wrap.
Yeah,
that was it. And now every shelf, you know, is just covered with the Wicked Kitchen ranges and the Plant Chef. And he's just
they've got a beer coming out.
Have they?
I think it might already be out.
Wow. Yeah, it's just amazing. He's so lovely.
What I'm most proud of is inspiring the competition so everybody gets off their ass, starts making more vegan food. And what you see out there is a bunch of meat advisors and corporations that have to do it because they have to compete. And it's really prompted the whole movement just so fast. It's so exponential right now, right? It's just blowing up.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
Episode 9 of series 1, I spoke to Colin Campbell, Colin T. Campbell. He's a scientist who specializes in the effect of nutrition on health. He basically grew up on a dairy farm, but through his research, he kind of started to see how meat and specifically dairy was causing cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
Have a listen to what Colin T. Campbell had to say.
You could turn cancer on and off just by dietary means, by nutritional means, I should say. And there's more specifically, even we could turn cancer on by giving them milk protein.
Right.
You're coming from a dairy farm, I found that challenging.
Yeah.
But we could turn on the milk protein and we could decrease the replacement plant protein. That was the big finding. We could turn cancer on and off. That in turn led to another sort of kind of shattering idea for the system, namely cancer, I believe, in fact, I'm convinced of that, our data show that cancer is a nutritional disease. It's not a genetic disease. That's a big, big, that's kind of a momentous kind of idea because the entire cancer industry is founded on the idea and is sustained on the idea that cancer is a genetic disease. And people in the cancer community will put that, they'll say that straight up. It's a genetic disease. It depends on what genes we have. It depends on what mutations we may have of the genes we have, that sort of thing. When in reality, we can take nutrition and control the expression of those genes. That's what we like to say in science. And so that makes nutrition as the prime mover and controller of whether or not cancer occurs. That in turn then extends to other diseases as well, because all diseases really start with genes.
Episode 3 of series 2, I spoke to Bosch. They were really good fun. Most people have heard of them now. They spoke about growing their brand through social media and changing people's attitude by just having fun and cooking great food.
Yeah. So Bosch are like the first people that kind of like introduced me into veganism, kind of like through their cookbooks. I think their cookbooks are so accessible. Especially the Easy Vegan one, or is it Quick Vegan? One of those. Delicious food and like loads of different types of cuisines and, you know, types of meals and stuff. And I think they just have fun with it, like you said. What's funny as well, the big vegan camp out that happened this year, they did a DJ set, and they did like a jungle and D&B set. And it was so funny. In my head, I was just like, what? Veganism and jungle?
Oh my god! I love that. Do you know what? I'll let you in on a secret. Drum and bass is my favorite music.
Oh, Holly, why are we not married?
I don't know. Let's move in together and just party with vegan snacks and drum and bass all night long.
Drum and bass all night long. I do go to bed at 10 though.
Yeah, same. We'll do daytime raving. Anyway, have a listen to what Bosch had to say.
But how it all began was, so Ian went vegan, was it about 6 years ago, mate?
It will be 6 years on the 1st of March.
Right, cool. So nearly six years ago, and Ian was on a January challenge, as he is now. And so he was testing out veganism, vegetarianism, just to put himself through the paces, really. And I mocked him, thought it was ridiculous. But then my kind of environmental streak was awoken when he showed me Cowspiracy, and we watched that together. And I realized just how much greenhouse emissions are given off by animal agriculture. So I went vegan then overnight. It was probably about a month after Ian, for environmental reasons. I felt fantastic. You felt fantastic. Wow. We both were really pleased by the obvious immediate health benefits that we experienced. And then we started to learn more about animal cruelty and what was going on in factory farms. And we were appalled. I would say it's probably an awakening you go through. And you can never unlearn that. You can never go back. So that's when we decided we wanted to make it our life's purpose to share how easy it was to go vegan and why people should go vegan with the world. We went through a few different iterations of what we should do. Ian was going to work on a cafe back in Sheffield, where we're from, and I was thinking about doing vegan ready meals. But in the end, we decided to stick with what we knew, which was we were pretty good at cooking and we were pretty good at making videos. And it seemed like videos on social media were starting to kick off. So that's where we decided to build a business.
So what's been one of your favourite episodes?
So there's been so many. I think the one that is stuck out most in my brain, the week before I joined, actually, you had a chat with Dene Moore. I think it was series 3, episode 11, did you say? Yeah. I remember listening to it and I was just getting so inspired by what she said. She's so passionate about what she does and her cooking. And I think her heritage, I think Jamaican and Caribbean, I think she is so in tune with vegetables and produce and stuff. And I think I was just listening to it and I was like, oh my gosh, we're so out of touch with, you know, what we're eating and when we're eating stuff. And I think it really inspired me. Even now, like, I still think about like what she said and kind of really focus on getting seasonal, organic veg, because it's, you know, it's not only better for us, but it's just better for the planet all over. Yeah, I think she was amazing.
Yeah, she was great. She really inspired me to sort of mix up my cooking a bit and kind of get into Jamaican food a bit more. So it's come to
me. I always loved cooking before going vegan, but I found when I went vegan, I kind of like had to search for the flavors and the ingredients that were going to, you know, for me to be able to eat the things that I used or dishes that I used to eat. And I think coming from a Jamaican background, that was something that instantly I was like, oh my God, like, how do I make like these things that, you know, I am really, like, it's something that's a part of me. Like, I crave those Jamaican flavors. And it's really funny because it is really easy if you think about it. Like, all spices and herbs are, you know, plants. So that's kind of using those spices, using the fresh kind of flavors, the thyme and the scotch bonnet and, you know, pimento, stuff like that. Those are the flavors that sing. Like, with jerk chicken, you know, jerk chicken wouldn't taste like jerk chicken without those spices. So in theory, you can carry those things. You're not going to miss out because, you know, all of those things are plants. And I think that's what people don't really connect as well. They kind of think, oh God, I'm going to miss out on all the flavors. Like, you can still, like, you know, if you're craving like any cuisine, Italian food, you know, the basil, the tomatoes, the, you know, all of those, the olive oil, like all of those things are like plants. Like,
yeah.
So I think that was an amazing realization, and just kind of just exploring using a lot more ingredients in different ways than I probably wouldn't have before.
Episode 13 of series 3, I spoke to Danny Hatchard, and he was an actor in EastEnders. He stands out for me just because he's just keeping it real, and he's a Cockney boy, and he was just a bit of fun. But had lots to say and lots of passion about veganism. And kind of didn't care what people think, which is quite refreshing because, you know, we're all sort of worried, aren't we, about coming across as judgmental vegans or whatever. And he was just great to chat to and a bit of a laugh.
To be honest with you, I've just got to a point in my life now where, like, I don't ask for much. I don't consider myself a diva, but I do have, you know, I live by the vegan lifestyle. And I don't like to call it a diet because I don't not eat meat because it's a dietary choice. I do it because it's a lifestyle. And so therefore, you know, I'm quite firm about it, you know, and I've quite often expressed the fact that I'm pissed off. I don't know, sorry if y'all can swear on this, but
that's all right.
It's the only way I can really explain how I felt, you know. Yeah. And some people don't understand it, and I don't expect them to. But you know, I made my position very clear before I started the job, and I don't think it's much to ask for. You know, cooking up some lentils and some vegetables and rice, I don't think is all that hard. You know,
no, not at all.
So you know, I'm not particularly fussy. I just don't want any animal products in my food. That's about it, really.
I think my favourite episode ever has to be episode 2, series 4, which was Dr. Alice Brough. She was just amazing. I can't even describe how I felt when I was listening to what she had to say. She started off as a pig vet working in animal agriculture. And she's since turned basically into a vegan activist. She's spoken at animal rebellion events. You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe that's because one of the biggest drivers for me is the animals. Although, you know, I feel like all the reasons to be vegan, the health, the planet, everything is kind of a massive driver for me, but just when I just think about these millions of animals that are going through such harrowing sort of conditions, experiences, just speaking to her was amazing. So yeah, here's what she had to say.
I basically wanted to be a vet since I was like this big, and there was no other kind of career that I ever wanted to do. I'm from like a farming background, so my grandfather was a livestock and arable farmer, and very kind of rural upbringing. So I kind of started working on farms like every holiday in my teens, between school terms.
Yeah,
and I worked on a pig farm when I was 18 for about 6 months in my gap year, and that was quite an intensive pig farm. And at the time I was sort of like, this surely can't be the normal standard. So I kind of drove my career into that with the kind of overarching aim of looking at the welfare standards in pig farming,
right?
And I then started in pig farming when I graduated, and quickly realized that that farm was actually very good compared to lots of others. I did 4 years. I started off in mixed practice, so seeing all the different species and kind of trained up on the pig side, and ended up doing like 4 years in the pig industry, which I obviously went into kind of not a vegan, very much like pro farming, pro British farming, in every meal type jobby. And quite quickly stopped eating pork, and then quite quickly after that went vegan myself. So I did another kind of 2 or 3 years as a vegan in the pig industry, and it sort of just got to a point where I was like, I'm not making a difference here. Like, I really tried.
Yeah.
That was kind of, I feel like I can do more from outside the industry now that I've got all the knowledge and experience.
So another highlight of the last year was talking to Despina Marcelou, who is a Greek nutritionist. She was amazing talking about veganism and immunity. So it's worth a listen if you have like an autoimmune disease, or you've, you know, struggled with like gut health, anything like that. Yeah. I mean, a big thing for her was giving up the dairy. Mm. And that's something that comes through, you know, with a lot of people I've spoken to, they've they've talked about giving up dairy being the real game changer. Whether it's, you know, an athlete like Kate Strong, I believe, gave up dairy and increased her times. People have spoken about eczema clearing up when they gave up dairy, asthma being a mass, yeah, yourself included, yeah. You know, dairy seems to be the real game changer. So, yeah, Despina was really knowledgeable on immunity. So have a listen.
Foods, especially in Mediterranean people, is part of socializing. So I couldn't imagine myself going on a whole plant-based food diet at all. If you asked me the same question like 10 years ago, I would say no. I could never go vegan. Since the symptoms after I had thyroidectomy were not improved, and after my second pregnancy, I was also diagnosed with multiple vertigo throughout the day, and the doctors went crazy on me. They were suggesting that I might have multiple sclerosis, that I might should take antidepressants or whatever.
Yeah,
I took a big step, so I went on a whole plant-based diet, and I'm fantastic since then.
So have all your symptoms cleared up? Or
really? Within a year, all of my symptoms disappeared. The biggest challenge for me was to quit cheese, because I'm such a cheese lover. And when I said to myself, okay, you should try for a month, say no to cheese, this was the best thing I have ever done in my whole life.
Wow.
I start feeling myself again, if you know what I mean, if you know where I'm coming from. Because with the Mediterranean, with the semi-vegetarian nutrition that I was following previously, I could see some improvements for sure. But I was not there exactly. I was not feeling myself in a way. And with the whole plant-based diets, I could see me.
I think finally, episode 8 of our current series, Lara Pappas from ProVeg. She was brilliant because she was talking about the environmental reasons to go vegan and how, you know, it's all about diet change, not climate change, and people not discussing the elephant or the cow, as she referred to it, in the room. You know, one of the most shocking things that she said was that the politicians they're just not talking about it.
It's so frustrating, isn't it? And it's because everyone is so invested and everyone has a stake in the meat industry, and that's just all it boils down to. It's such a helpless position to be in. But I think, you know, you've got people like Lara sort of spreading awareness of it, and the more awareness there is, the more these politicians are going to look like fools, and it'll backfire, fingers crossed.
You know, we can all make a change and we can all make a difference. So have a listen to what Lara had to say.
We really need to get the message out that the consumption of animal products is a huge contributor to the global climate crisis. The statistics on it differ. The minimum number that is being mentioned by the FAO, which is the leading authority, recognized by the international community, is that animal-based products contribute to 14.5% of global CO2. But these numbers don't take everything into account. So there's a range between 14.5% to even 50% of global CO2 contributed by animal-based product, the consumption and the production of it, of course. So it's massive. If you really recognize these numbers, if you really think about it, it's just a massive amount. And we really, really need to reduce our intake. And it's so easy, because it's not as if there's no solution, right? We have plant-based alternatives. They're very tasty. They're you can get them by now everywhere. It's a mental change that we have to established together, and we're challenging people with dietitian or climate change to take the pledge, and we'll help you to get there.
So we've spoken to so many amazing people over the last year, and what has really struck me is how connected we all are by our one vision for making change and really striving towards this one goal.
And it's just such an important movement, and I'm just so happy that it's growing. And it was so encouraging as well to see, you know, even though we love getting all of these like new products and stuff, it's so good that we are getting all of these new products, because it just shows that people are investing in it and, you know, things are changing.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, we're all in this together. So let's just keep striving for change. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening over the last year. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends, subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Simply Vegan Podcast. We'll leave you with a clip from our most downloaded episode, which was Olivia Mancondo, who was speaking about weight loss.
Within 9 months, I lost 35 kilos or 5.5 stone.
Wow.
My body mass index went from 32 to 22. And for example, my blood sugar was at 41. I was at 41, and then it went down to 37, which is very good. And all the chronic diseases that I've had are completely gone. Gone. So I've got no headaches anymore. I've got no joint pain. The chest pain are gone. The abscesses, everything are gone. And especially the high blood pressure that I've had. I remember 4 months into me changing, I went to my GP. And when he did the test, the blood pressure was gone. And he was really, really surprised. And it was gone with no medication. Because when I was first diagnosed, the doctor told me that I would go on medication for the rest of my life. But obviously, at that time, I didn't know everything. But I just asked him for how long I would take the medication for. And he told me for the rest of my life. And I said, no, I can't take it. I said, maybe I'll try to do some sports. And maybe the blood pressure was gone. And I remember I joined a karate club. But the blood pressure was still there. But it's just when I stopped eating all the meat product, the dairy product, that my blood pressure was gone.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.